So I'm going to say a few words about forbearance, giving you a chance to exercise it. And yeah, I was reading yesterday or the day before something, thinking I was doing something that had nothing to do with this current moment. I was reading something in Maimonides, the Rambam, the 12th century rabbinical teacher and scholar, and who was also a Sufi. Good to know. He lived in Egypt and was actually the personal physician of Saladin for some time. And one of the most important Jewish theologians and scholars. And there was this piece I was reading was about ethics, how we should treat each other. And there was a list of 11 commandments in it. And I really liked them. I'm going to dial them up on my phone right now. And I liked them because they were things like love everybody, don't hate people, don't repress the unfortunate, emulate the ways of God, cling to those who know God. I like these commandments because they kind of bypass, you know, all the idolatry and adultery and bloodshed. You know, we're just taking that stuff for granted. We know you're not supposed to do that. You know, but these are like how we should treat each other. And that's a lot of what we talk about here is, you know, this kind of rubber meets the road. How do we actualize this stuff in our lives? And these are great commandments for that. But then he goes on to say, okay, how do you actually follow these commandments? And the method he uses, which I think is great, is he says, everyone, all human beings are full of tendencies, you know? Tendencies to act or not act, tendencies to attack or retreat. You know, we all have, I don't want to call them biases, we all have preferences. You know, we all have ways that we are accustomed to behave, and all of them are sort of lie between two extremes, you know, like action and passivity. And you can be, we kind of have a sense of what these extremes are. If you're always acting, you know, if you're always jumping in, that's an extreme. If you're never jumping in, if you're always just hanging back and being receptive, that's another extreme. Maimonides says that you have to always aim right in the middle. Right in the middle of every you know, pair of opposite tendencies like that. Wherever you naturally fall on that scale, you have to orient towards the middle. And he calls this the straight path, which I love because, you know, there's a straight path in Islam that is much, you know, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, often referenced, and there's a middle path, you know, in Buddhism. And it's nice that this conception makes these the same, you know, the path in the middle, the path between the extremes, this is the straight path. And his contention is that if we aim towards the middle, always, then we will fulfill these commandments. We will be able to orient towards the good. And I think this is really true, and I'm going to talk about why. He also says, by the way, that if you are find that you are already on the extreme edge of one of those tendencies, the way to correct it is to go all the way to the other extreme. Because you're probably not going to be able to manage to get to the middle, but if you go all the way to the other extreme, then you can readjust. I'm not sure I'm not sure that's good advice for the contemporary mind, but it's interesting to think about. So there's positive and negative commandments. You know, that list of commandments I read at the beginning. There's there's things like you are required to rebuke your fellow person if they are acting out of line. However, you are required not to publicly embarrass anybody. So there's like a positive commandment and there's a negative commandment. And this is true of a lot of the sort of qualities that we've been working with. There's positive qualities and there's negative qualities. And by negative, I don't mean bad. I just mean, like do not kill. That's a negative commandment. It's not a bad thing. You know, the silence is a negative quality. You know, we really appreciate silence. Silence is a negative quality because it's the absence of making a noise. It's the absence of sound. It's the absence of disturbance. And compassion is a positive quality. Compassion calls us to action. You know, this is especially true in Buddhist teaching, but I think it's true just in ordinary way we use language. Compassion is an active connection that is the precursor to doing something in the world. It's a spur to action. It's not usually a spur to backing off and cutting off relationship. It's a spur to relationship and action. Forbearance is kind of a negative quality in the sense that it's restraining ourselves from doing something. It's pulling back. You know, when we want to react and do something, forbearance is the quality that allows us to hang on for a sec. That allows us to create some space between us and the world in a way. Just backing off a little bit. And it can be very subtle. It can be very subtle, but we all know this feeling of just sort of taking a step back in our awareness. And this leaves a kind of it leaves a space in the world where something new can happen. There's a saying in the Zen tradition the way the path of awareness goes, first there is a mountain, and then there is no mountain, and then there's a mountain again. And this pattern kind of works itself through at a lot of different scales on the spiritual path. And so there's a sense where, this stepping back can create a sort of separateness and a sort of distancing that is not what we want. But the fact is, the space that we're creating is a space between the world and our own ego. Because our ego is the part that wants to act precipitously, you know? And if we create that space where we don't give the ego permission to, you know, to be riding the horse, as it were. You know, if we don't let the ego drive, something else can drive. And, you know, we need that sense of separateness at the beginning, and that sense of creating a space between us and the world, and just to get our ego out of the picture so that something higher can come in, you know, and flow in that space. We have glimpses of this, you know, but it's eventually we can live in that space. Forbearance in the Buddhist tradition, it's called I forgot. It starts with a K, I can't remember. But in this quote from the Dhammapada, where it starts, patient endurance is the foremost austerity. This word that they're translating as patient endurance, I can't remember, it starts with a K. Anyway.
It's something like kashmas.
Yeah,
you know.
But it is forbearance. They're talking about the same thing, the same sense of just this sense of holding back and not acting, not reacting to the world. And people are resistant to this sometimes because some people have a tendency to really be on top of things. And you know, that sounds like a positive thing, but everything is a trade-off, you know. If you are charging into the world at a certain speed, speed increases your ability to penetrate into situations, but it reduces your clarity. You know, I mean, this is really easy to see if you just think of, like, you know, driving into traffic. You know, if you're going really fast, you're probably going to get to where you want to go quicker, maybe, but your ability to adjust your direction along the way is severely reduced, right? It's exactly the same thing as the Taoist selection we read, you know, says making it sharper won't help it last longer. You know, I mean, they're talking about knives. They're talking about, like, cooking knives, right? If you sharpen it all the time, it's going to be really sharp, but it's going to be brittle, and it won't last as long. All these things are a trade-off. So it's if we can manage to just not be quite as on top of it all the time, you know, just as an experiment, we can make some space in there, and in that space, interesting things can happen. If you do this as a practice, just in your daily life, just with your awareness, you can kind of ride the wave of not doing something. And this is a very, has its own kind of sense of not doing, has its own kind of flavor. You know, they talk about this a lot in the Taoist tradition. It's the quality called wu wei, which literally means not doing. And this is what they're talking about. It's not just a strategy of doing less, or, you know, being a little less aggressive. It's more like a place of holding your awareness where you give space to the world. Your mind and your will aren't constantly trying to fill things in and make things right. I guess it requires a certain amount of trust. But, you know, that comes with time. So I guess the main idea here, which I don't think I've said flat out, is that creating that kind of space by just stepping back a little bit in kind of a subtle way allows us to navigate between extremes. You know, we can actually sort of, rather than jumping into doing the right thing, we can push ourselves, guide ourselves towards just a middle position. And, you know, and the contention is that that's going to turn out better for everyone, because there's a reason that's the middle position. You know, this is, it's sort of like getting into the deep groove of the universe. It's a natural place. It's like a river running between mountains, you know, it's a natural place to find ourselves. And, you know, this is why I'm saying that not doing is not just, you know, ceasing action. It's a state of being. And we can sort of locate that state of being and relax into that middle path between extremes. And it's a natural thing. We can see it and we can feel it as it happens. And it's funny, this, I started out in a very ethical, moral place, but you know, the way we get to that ethical, moral place is through working with our awareness. And working with our sense of time and space and these very concrete in the moment things. I don't know if any of you ever listened to Charles Mingus, but the jazz, 20th century jazz musician. He used to talk about the space in a beat, you know, like you're counting time, you know, and these beats happen, right? But these beats, you know, these places where the beat hits, they aren't an exact place in time. They are, there's space inside of them. And you can kind of, you know, you can kind of hang back on the beat, you know, like you think playing like kind of a low, kind of a relaxed bass line, you know, or you could be having kind of an aggressive guitar solo that's like, you know, up a little in front of the beat, but it's all in the same beat. It's all in the same groove. It's like if we're riding a bicycle, you know, you can be leaning over the handlebars, you know, like a racer. You can be sort of back like a like on one of those reclining bikes, you know, but you're still, you know, you're still going down the road in a bike. These are just metaphors for ways of being in the moment. And we can sort of play with this. And I mean, a large part of it is just realizing that there's options. And the other part is that you become conscious of your unconscious. If you are able to just back off a little bit, then you start to see that which wants to act. And that which wants to act is usually some aspect of your ego. And you start to see the edges of that in a way that that is otherwise invisible to you, because you're just caught up in it. It's just moving you around. But, and this is very uncomfortable for a lot of people. I mean, it's uncomfortable for all of us. I shouldn't say a lot of people. It's by its nature, becoming aware of how your ego works and how your ego reacts in the world is uncomfortable. And humbling. I think it's important that this month of forbearance is in between our month of looking at humility and is followed by our month looking at perseverance, because these are absolutely necessary. If we don't have a sense of humility, if we don't have a sense of we were talking about St. Francis's practice of welcoming humiliation. Well, creating spaces where you become aware of your automaticness and the way your ego works is absolutely humiliating. Or you're not doing it right. So you have to become, in a sense, comfortable with that, or you'll keep avoiding it. You'll just avoid seeing yourself. So you have to have some comfort with looking at yourself and realizing, what's actually happening. And you have to persevere with that, because because it never stops. Because it is an endlessly receding horizon. And at least as far as I could tell, it's, I have no doubt there are realms where these things cease to be an issue. But, living a human life on Earth, I don't think is where that happens. So if we're gonna grow, if we're gonna widen our perception to see the things in us that need to change to heal ourselves and the people around us, humility is a necessity, and so is perseverance, which we'll talk more about next month.